Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the SJS Enterprises Limited Q3 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikhil Kale from Axis Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Faizan. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 FY22 post-results conference call of SJS Enterprises. From the management team today, we have with us Mr. K. Joseph, Managing Director, Mr. Sanjay Thapar, Executive Director and CEO, Mr. Amit Kumar Garg, CFO, and Ms. Devanshi Dhruva, Head of Investor Relations. I now hand it over to Devanshi for opening remarks. Over to you, Devanshi.
Thank you, Nikhil. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for being with us over the call today. We appreciate it. Also, on behalf of everybody at SJS, we sincerely hope and wish that all your friends and families are safe in these tough times. Moving on, this is how we intend to take today's conference call forward. I will pass on the dais to Joseph to make his opening remarks. Joseph is our Managing Director and the J in SJS Enterprises. Post his remarks, we will very quickly take you through some of the slides on the presentation, which I hope all of you would have got a chance to go through. The presentation is uploaded on our website as well. Sanjay will take you through the details of SJS business model and outline on how we have grown as a company today. I will briefly touch upon the current industry view and our business highlights during the quarter. Amit, our CFO, would then take you through our financial highlights. Lastly, Sanjay would share the outlook and strategy ahead for future growth, post which we will then open it for Q&A. The duration of the call is around 60 minutes. Amongst the four of us, we will try and wrap this up by about 25-30 minutes, so we leave at least 30-35 minutes for you guys to ask us questions. If the time is not enough, feel free to write, email, or reach out to me, and I will try and answer all your questions to the best of my abilities. Thank you once again. I will hand it over to Joseph to make the opening comments. Over to you, Joseph.
Thank you, Devanshi. Hello, and good morning, everyone. Hope everyone is keeping fine and safe under the current circumstances. Since this is our first call, let me introduce myself. I'm K. Joseph, Managing Director and the J in SJS. Me, along with my partners, Srinivasan and Shivakumar, started this in 1987, almost 35 years back. Little did we know that what we started in the garage would become one of world's leading aesthetic product manufacturer and a listed company someday. Thank you all for supporting our IPO and making it a success. Our journey began with the manufacturing of seemingly trivial reflective stickers for publicity-related activities for consumer and appliance industry. Soon, the business evolved, and we started manufacturing what are known as operator control panels for dot matrix printers for companies like TVS and Wipro. In those days, these items were being imported all the way from Japan. Innovation and creativity has been our prime focus, and in 1995-1996, we started manufacturing automotive dials, and the first Hyundai Sandero model manufactured in India rolled out with our dials. Since inception, three things have remained synonymous with SJS: our absolute customer-centric approach. Everything we do it for our customers, serving the best names in the auto and appliance industry world over. Our focus on product quality, which was always a significant differentiator for our customers. Of course, this required us to constantly upgrade ourselves with new technology and also invest in state-of-the-art equipment as well. While the dial market kept growing, in 2010, we introduced 3D Lux, a premium branding technology. This is an environmentally friendly and easy-to-use alternative compared to conventional chrome plating technology. In 2015, my partners, Srini and Shiva, decided to retire, and this is when Everstone invested in SJS. With Everstone coming on board, it took us to a new orbit. We became much bolder in our approach. With Sanjay coming in as a professional, we enhanced our innovation and R&D capabilities. We increased our thrust on exports and focused on building mega accounts. We also hired strong senior and mid-level talent. Since then, me and Sanjay has been running this company quite successfully by introducing a host of new products like aluminum badges and technologies like in-mold decoration, 3D dials, et cetera. In 2018, we moved out to a state-of-the-art facility with over 235,000 square feet of built-up area to enhance our capacities and also to accommodate the new technologies what we had introduced. As a strategy to enhance our product portfolio in aesthetic products, we acquired a chrome plating plant in April of 2021. My vision for SJS over the next 5 years is to make sure that we emerge as India's most technologically advanced global supplier of quality aesthetic solutions for the auto and appliance world. I will continue to remain 100% committed to this business, and I look forward to growing this business with Sanjay, my son Kevin, and the team to make SJS one of the most respected aesthetic product manufacturing company in the world. And as I said in my listing speech, we have miles to go and miles to go. With that, I would like to hand over to Sanjay to explain about further details of our business and the industry. Thank you, Sanjay.
Yeah, thank you, Joe, and a big thank you to all our investors and shareholders for supporting our IPO. As Joe rightly said, we are one of the leading decorative and aesthetic companies in India and want to be on the global podium. Before I talk about SJS, a brief introduction about myself. I am Sanjay Thapar, the CEO and Executive Director of the company. Started my career with an OEM, Telco, now called Tata Motors. Later joined the Minda Group in Delhi. Minda was then relatively unknown. I was the first professional engineer to join that group. As a part of the core team, helped grow and professionalize this small family business into the large corporation it has emerged today. So during 25 years there, I set up many businesses, joint ventures, manufacturing plants, left the Ashok Minda Group to join hands with Everstone Capital to invest in SJS in 2015. I'm on the board of this company ever since, and along with Joe, focused on growing this business. Now, what is important and what attracted me to SJS was truly the uniqueness of this company. We supply parts not just to the automotive and the consumer durable sector, but multiple end segments. Our products change the aesthetic appeal of two-wheelers, passenger vehicles, or any appliance from the customer's perspective. SJS also has a very large and diversified product mix manufactured in high volumes. This scale means that it's tough for anybody else to compete with SJS. Our products are light and easy to ship and therefore well-suited for exports. We have, over the last few years, incubated large global accounts and have also enlarged our global footprint. With a growing trend towards premiumization, customers demand new technologies and improved aesthetics. SJS is an innovation-driven company, and we are poised to grow, benefiting from this trend. Having been in the industry for now over 35 years, I have yet to find a company similar to SJS in terms of the margin profile and the multiple possibilities of growth across diverse user segments. And I've seen this play out despite the industry degrowing in the last 4-5 years. SJS has continued to grow and beaten the industry growth historically, and we will continue to do so in future. Next year, as forecast by industry leaders and analysts alike, the two-wheeler, passenger vehicles and appliance industry growth will be in high double digits. You can well imagine the SJS growth trajectory as we move forward. We operate our business at a 29% EBITDA, 16% PAT margin, high ROCE, and we generate large amounts of free cash. And that is what is the company SJS today. Now, allow me to share with you what exactly SJS does. So if you can refer to the presentation that Devanshi talked of. So we manufacture a wide range of products serving majorly the automotive and the large consumer durables industry. We also have many new futuristic, new generation products in our APD pipeline. So moving to slide 6 and 8, as I mentioned, we operate in a market that is growing much faster than the underlying industry growth. It is estimated by CRISIL that in 2019, the size of the aesthetic market in North America and Europe was $2.7 billion, plus another 19.9 billion rupees in India, and growing at a CAGR of 20% and likely to do so for the next 5-6 years. The Indian market then by itself would be close to about 5,000 crores by the year 26. This 20% growth in aesthetic markets is 1.5 times the growth of the underlying industries like two-wheelers, passenger vehicles, and consumer durables, estimated to grow at 10 to 12% and during the same period. So I now move to slide 9 and 10. So aesthetic products have different end market applications such as two-wheelers, four-wheeler vehicles, kitchen appliances, medical devices, farm equipment, electronic human-machine interface applications globally. Also with the increase in disposable incomes in the country and aspiration for better quality products in today's connected world, there is a significant shift in consumer preference towards premium products, and SGS has a basket of products which meet this requirement of the customer. So we have aluminum badges, IML, IMD parts, 3D dials, optical plastics, etc. To offer to this more discerning customer. Customers are moving from 2D dials to three-dimensional or form dials, analog to digital clusters and two-wheelers, traditional capacitive touch overlays, and also IML, IMD parts in the car interiors. So currently, our products have an application in the automotive industry. Close to about 70-75% of our revenues come from automotive, and balance 20-25% from consumer durables. What makes SGS unique and very tough for competitors or any competitor to compete with us is the fact that we manufacture 11 different types of products, catering to more than 7 end customer segments, have over 6,000 SKUs in your portfolio. So these are discrete components. Annually produce 115 million parts that we ship to 160 customer locations across 20 countries. This is what is so unique about this company. There is no competitor that we have mapped in India or overseas that can handle this complexity and still consider and deliver products to so many customer locations worldwide. As you can see in the slide 11, all these new products have been designed and developed within the company. We have a state-of-the-art design studio. We engage with customers very early in the development process. In the last 4 years, we've developed 5 completely new products. So we have in-house design, development, engineering capabilities. We collaborate with customers to design new products as per their needs. And today we have a best-in-class new product development infrastructure. We are a single-stop solution provider to our customers. And last year, we also acquired a chrome plating business. Chrome plating is a 1,000 crore business in India, and this expands our total addressable market quite massively. Though the margins are low, lower here relative to what the traditional aesthetic business we have, but the ROC is high. I now move on to slides 12 and 14. All these traditional premium products are designed and developed in our state-of-the-art facilities at Bangalore and Pune. Both our plants are IATF and ISO certified. Our Bangalore plant is LEED Gold certified, which is leadership in energy efficiency and design by the US Green Building Council. We maintain very high quality standards. We generate almost 2 megawatts of solar power at our Bangalore facility. And more importantly, our Bangalore facility is fungible, allowing us to interchange capacity and product mix based on changing customer requirements and optimizing machine productivity and operational efficiency. So this is a key differentiator when you compare other industries with what SGS does. One of our key benefits is our products are light and easy to ship across the world. SGS is exploring opportunities to strengthen its presence outside India and increase its share of exports in the total revenue. Exports contribution to our sales has increased from 10% in FY19 to close to 16% in FY21, and this is an important area for growth for us. We are investing in building a strong export team to grow this. With India cost advantages and a global footprint, we believe this is a massive opportunity that we would want to capitalize on. We hope to grow our exports to 25% of revenue by the year 2025. Exotic products so far had only a domestic presence. But since this is now a part of SGS, we see tremendous synergies between both companies and are confident that even though the existing network, through our existing network across the world, we'll be able to export even chrome-plated parts manufactured at our Pune facility. Our manufacturing plant is truly world-class. Many customers have endorsed this. We have global distribution capabilities. We handle complexity, 115 million parts, 6,000 SKUs, delivered to 160 customer locations across 20 countries, 5 continents. This gives us a very, very formidable advantage over competition, and that is the reason why we do not have a competitor either in India or globally who competes with us for our entire portfolio. Our facility at Pune, Bangalore, is best in class, really. And I would invite any one of you passing through Bangalore to please take out time and visit us to understand really the tremendous sustainable competitive advantage that we built and the huge complexity that we manage. It's tough to explain, but I'm sure if you see this, you will understand what I say. Slide 15 highlights the fact that we have long-standing relationships with most of the automotive players in both OEMs for the automotive and consumer durable sectors. Some of our customers are TVS, Honda, motorcycles, scooters, Bajaj Auto, Yamaha, Suzuki, Maruti Suzuki, Visteon, Whirlpool, Godrej, and many more. So average relationship with the top 10 customers that we have averages to close to 15 years. This long-standing relationship provides us with an opportunity to cross-sell products. So any new product that we develop, we can very quickly take it to market with our customers, and we have not lost a single customer as on date. We cater to the entire two-wheeler industry, so we supply to almost everyone with the sole exception of Hero MotoCorp, and we are now trying to, we are knocking hard on their doors, and hopefully we should have success. As mentioned, SES is well placed to benefit from the turnaround in the two-wheeler, PV, and the appliance industry, as we have the products, the customer connect, and world-class manufacturing capabilities. And lastly, before I hand over to Amit, I would just like to mention that we are a professionally run company with a very high corporate governance standards. We have a great board of directors. We have Mr. Ramesh Jain, the ex-vice chairman of Hero Motors, Eicher Motors, my mistake, who is an independent director and non-executive chairman of our board as well. We also have Mathias Renzel from Sweden on our board. He retired as the global sourcing director of aesthetic parts for Visteon. He has great knowledge of global markets and trends, especially in North America and Europe, and we benefit from his counsel. We have a team of seasoned professionals running the company. We have on this call Amit, who's the CFO. He leads the finance and accounts function. He's a CA, MBA from MIT, and was earlier the CFO of NIIT. We have a chief marketing officer in Raju. He was earlier with ITW and then the Minda Group and the Sundaram Group. He has over 22 years of experience in the automotive industry. We also have a COO, Mr. Baligar. He was previously with Motherson Automotive and Toyota Kirloskar, well aware of the Toyota production system, Japanese lean management concepts, and TPM concepts. He's driving operational efficiency on our shop floor. So I now hand over to Devanshi to talk about the Q3 industry and business highlights before Amit can take you through the financial performance and a past track record. So over to you, Devanshi.
Thank you, Sanjay. I will quickly take you all through slide 22. As we all know, automotive industry globally has been grappling with supply chain issues due to shortage of semiconductor chips, and in India, the volumes have declined due to lower retail demand as well. During Q3, domestic passenger vehicle and two-wheeler sales volume have declined by 15% and 25% YOY respectively. Automotive sales in India recorded lowest numbers in last 10 years during this festive season. Major OEMs have also reduced production as their semiconductor chip supplies have dried up. Passenger vehicles and two-wheeler productions as well have decreased by around 12% and 23% YOY during the quarter because of such reduced demand. Although there is some improvement in demand sentiments, the current supply chain issues are impacting sales numbers, and industry analysts expect some demand to revert mid-2022 onwards. As mentioned earlier by Sanjay, we have outperformed the underlying industry growth, and we will continue to do so in the future as well. We are an aesthetics company, and as consumers shift towards premiumization, there is an increasing demand for aesthetic products, which will enable us to grow at a faster pace than our underlying industry growth. We also believe that there is a massive opportunity awaiting for us in the export market, and hence we are strengthening our sales force in the international markets of Turkey, Brazil and Argentina. With that said, I would now like to hand over the call to Amit, who will take you all through our financial highlights. Over to you, Amit.
Thank you, Devanshi. As mentioned by Sanjay earlier, we are a company with a very strong financial performance and balance sheet. We have consistently outperformed industries we service in last 4 to 5 years. In financial year 21, while industry declined by 10 to 12%, we grew at 16%. Our consolidated revenue, including Exotech acquisition in financial year 21, was 320 million in financial year 21. Our profit margins are best in class with EBITDA margin of 29% and PAT margin of 16%. The company has consistently generating strong free cash flow, which stood at 600 million during financial year 21 and delivering strong ROC and ROE at 26.8% and 16.5% respectively for the year. We are a debt-free company. In financial year 22, as it was in financial year 21, we were impacted a little by COVID, second wave, as well as the supply chain issues of semiconductor chips in automotive industry, along with already dipping retail sales that has happened in the automotive industry. Despite the challenges, we are happy to announce our strong financial performance in Q3 with revenue of 918 million on a strong EBITDA margin of 28.8% and a net profit margin of 16.5%. We are integrating Exotech in our business. We have been able to achieve quick turnaround in the business due to the various synergies with SJS, and it is rapidly growing on top line and on the margin front as well. Exotech achieved its financial year 21 full year revenue in just 9 months in financial year 22, and we have to grow it further. We have operational capacity both at SJS, so we will be taking advantage of operating leverage and implementing operational excellence in SJS and Exotech that will further help us in driving margin enhancements. Also, with the shifting of consumer preference towards regionalization, it will help us propel our revenue and margin further onwards. We are a debt-free company, as I mentioned earlier, and generating strong cash flow. While we talk at December itself, and we have 102 crores cash with us today, despite the fact that we bought Exotech at 64 crores. And this cash can be used both for organic and inorganic expansion by the company. Our organic expansion may come in the form of adding new lines to support expansion export or other industries. Inorganic would be looking for acquisition of new technologies in aesthetic industry or a new segment. In the end, I would say we are a company with strong financial performance and balance sheet and seeing a very strong growth trajectory for ourselves in revenue, margin and free cash flows. With this, I'll hand over back to Sanjay for his closing remark about the company.
Thank you, Amit. As mentioned by us earlier, currently, as all of you are aware, automotive industry is going through its share of challenges due to the dip in retail demand during the festive season and also the semiconductor chip shortage that is so much in the news, which have impacted both two-wheeler and passenger vehicle segments. However, as in the past, even this quarter, we have outperformed the industry and we will continue to do so in future as well. For 9 months from April to December 21, our consolidated blended growth was 15.5% YOY, assuming for a like-to-like comparison, Exotech was integrated in the start of FY21. While the auto industry, that is to say the two-wheeler, four-wheeler production in India grew together by 7.6%, we grew by 15.5%. We believe that SJS, with its wide product offerings, play on premiumization, strong geographical presence, and long-standing customer relationships is poised to grow at a much faster rate than the underlying industry growth rate of 10-12% for the auto and the consumer appliance sectors from FY21 to 26. We've laid the foundations of a unique business to grab all possible opportunities, and this will help us propel our growth journey and maintain our superior margins and returns. Our strategy is simple, to focus on exports, add new products and technologies, look at inorganic growth opportunities, and most importantly, key focus on our customers. So towards this specifically, we will maintain focus on export market growth by mining new customers and expanding the target markets. We will maintain razor-sharp focus on developing new products and introducing new technologies to market proactively address the future demands of our customers. This is a key growth driver for us, and we are well poised for this. We generate a very high amount of free cash. We are debt-free. We are now listed. All I can say for the moment is that expect inorganic growth opportunity realization by SJS. We are creating a special team to lead this. increase, also focus is to increase our share of wallet and business with existing customers by offering new products, cross-selling new products across our customer base, and also adding new customers. Any strategic decision taken by the company, whether for organic or inorganic growth, the objective is clear, to build value for our stakeholders in the long term. We've delivered on our revenue, EBITDA and PAT on the lines we mentioned during the IPO. We have a strong order book for FY23 and are confident of delivering a high growth, high margin, high return performance next year. January has started strongly for us, and hopefully our Q4 results will also not disappoint you. When we come back to you with our full year results, we will take you through what the next year will look like. Thank you for now, and we are open for to answer any questions that you would have. So, Devanshi, maybe.
Thank you very much.
We can now coordinate that. Yeah.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Dhiral from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the export side. So what was the export revenue contribution this quarter and the overall as on 9-month FY22 and the growth on YOY as well as quarter-on-quarter basis?
So Amit, would you answer that? So generally...
13%. So it's 13% because the Exotec business is domestic. If we look at as SGS as a business, we are at 18.5%.
This is as on 9 months, sir?
Sorry,
9 months.
It's 9 months total, yeah. So standalone, it is 18.5%. And if you look at it at consolidated level, it's 13%, largely because of the fact that, you know, Exotec business is domestic.
Okay.
So at SGS, so we have grown the export business quite significantly. So for SGS, it was 10%. We, in FY19, we increased it to 16% in FY21. And now, as Amit said, on a consolidated basis, we are at about 13.5%.
And so what is helping us to increase the overall export pie? And what is our roadmap to take the Exotec product globally?
So two factors behind that. One is that, as I said, our products are light and very easy to ship. Plus, we have a very strong track record in terms of delivery to customers across the world. Never ever has a customer line in any continent stopped because of SGS. And that is the reason why we have been able to incubate these large accounts. We are strengthening our sales teams in these geographies, and that will add further momentum to our growth for the future. Also, large global accounts, we already serve them for many years now, and that is opening up more markets for us. So it's a combination of, and we are globally competitive. Our quality is well accepted by customers. And that is what is leading to this increase in growth.
So which segment we are particularly focusing on? Is it on the auto side or is it on the consumer durable side? And actually, we were focusing on the North American market particularly. But the presentation is that we are focusing on the South American part like Brazil, Argentina.
No. So that's, we already are focused on the North American market. We have Whirlpool as a large global customer. 50% of Whirlpool global sales happen in North America. So we are already catering to that. What is mentioned in that press note is that we now also expanded our footprint in South America and in Turkey. So that's in addition to what we already do. So North America is a very key focus area for us. And we have large global accounts like Visteon, which is a tier one supplier to most automotive companies. They make driver information systems. We supply to Whirlpool globally, and those are the businesses that are driving growth, and we are mining more customers in these new territories I talked about.
Thank you. Mr. Dhiran, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions? Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Bendre from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, you mentioned that the auto sector and appliances are two things that seems to be a growth opportunity for us. But apart from these two industries, is there any further segment or further area where we can grow from here on?
There are huge opportunities that exist in medical devices. We've already started supplies to this sector. As you can understand, the volumes are very large. We are also supplying to industrial applications, gaming applications. So anything that requires displays, anything that requires human-machine interface parts is a segment that we cater to. So apart from these segments that you talked of, there are a lot of growth opportunities for decorative parts across industry segments.
Okay, sure. And the about merger and acquisition, we have already done one acquisition last year. So the going forward, the acquisition, I mean, if we go by the acquisition route, will it happen in India or it's internationally also we'll be looking for companies to, you know, either get the designing capability and even the to get the client, ready-made client base?
We will look at expanding in territories where we see a lot of potential. For example, areas of interest to us are North America, Europe and Southeast Asia. So we are on the lookout. We are in some stages of discussions. And on a case-to-case basis, we will look at any geography that gives us access to new product technology, or we can add new customers or open up a new geography. So all of these. So we are open to global M&A.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Kale from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My first question was, can you just throw some more color on the growth across the different segments? I understand that you supply to two-wheelers, PVs, consumer durables. So just what has been the growth for these segments for the quarter and 9 months? And also export, you talked about the contribution, but what would have been the growth in exports over the quarter and the 9 month period?
So Amit, could you provide that data?
If you look at consolidated two-wheeler, Q3, financial 21, our growth in segment was around 3%. Just give me one second.
So consolidated sales, while Amit gets that, so our consolidated sales for 9 months in FY22 was 15.5%, as you said. The auto sales increased by 13.5% and the appliance sales increased by 23.3%. So,
two-wheeler declined.
This is an idea of what happened for SJS on a consolidated 9 month basis for FY22 versus FY21.
Okay, and two-wheeler, what would have been the growth of over this period?
So our two-wheeler growth sales increased by about 4% for two-wheelers and about 28.2% for passenger vehicles. Now, two-wheeler, of course, in terms of volume terms, is far larger than the passenger vehicles produced in the country. So these are now, if you talk of the production, so basically 13.5% on a blended basis across both these segments put together.
Okay, got it. And secondly, just wanted to understand what is the commodity situation for you, given that, I mean, compared to typical actually, the RM that we use is different. So what is the kind of inflation you have seen in your key raw materials, and how much of it have you been able to pass on to customers, and if there, has there been any under recovery?
So at Exotech, we have been able to recover the cost of increase of plastic resin, for example, from the customers. At SGS, we have not seen any major. There is an increase, but we are able to hold the price line because we have a large buying leverage, and we have, over the years, created a supply chain across different geographies. So we are very, very mindful of the fact to maintain our gross margins. And we've been successfully able to do that. Two reasons for that. One is, as I said, our buying leverage. The other is that we have an ongoing program of VAVE in the company. So we constantly evaluate how to reduce cost in raw materials, how to better improve our utilization, and that leads us to maintain a high margin, and consistently we've been able to do that. Also, by the nature of our products, so we don't have a legacy of raw material content continuing forever because these models are subject to change. So there are new aesthetic parts that are developed, and these parts, when we quote for a new part, the current raw material prices are already priced in.
Yeah, but Sanjay, what is generally the inflation level in these raw materials? Has it been like 20-30%, the kind of increases that we've seen in other?
Plastic resins, for example. So plastic raw material at the height of the pandemic was very large. So there was a huge increase. OEMs expected that these prices would normalize, and they did. So the petroleum prices also fluctuated quite dramatically, but they have come down. But OEMs have been mindful of the fact that raw material prices, and that's the reason I singled out plastics as a raw material. So we've been able to get the price increase from our customers for chrome-plated plastic parts. But for the other parts, we've not really seen that inflation because of our very strong buying leverage and our increased volume. So the raw material suppliers understand that SGS is a large company, and they're fully supportive of us.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Joseph George from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just have two or three questions. One is, so Exotech, I believe, has very little customer overlap with the standalone operations. Could you tell us about the cross-selling opportunities and maybe some of the cross-selling benefits or orders that you have received, say, in the last 12 months because of the acquisition?
Sorry, Joseph, could you repeat the first part of the question? I didn't hear it so well.
So my question was, or my opening line was that Exotech doesn't seem to have much a customer overlap with the standalone operations, which is the existing standalone operations of SGS. So from a cross-selling perspective, what are the opportunities and what have you already achieved, say, in the last 12 months in the acquisition?
Yeah, so good question. So I think our strategy to acquire Exotech was bang on. So we have gained a lot of customers, existing customers in plastic chrome plating business from those customers in the consumer appliance space as well as the automotive space. We are now knocking hard on the doors of companies globally as well. So Whirlpool as a customer we've added, Samsung as a customer we've added, TVS we are supplying to, so those are these early wins. Plus, we are now in discussions with a lot of customers, actually. And so we see this growth playing out very well. So cross-selling opportunities, we are able to encash and grow the revenue stream or at Exotech quite well. So we are happy with that result.
So you meant to say that you started getting orders for chrome plating parts from customers such as TVS, Whirlpool, etc. Is that what you implied?
Absolutely. So Whirlpool, Samsung, all these require door handles which are chrome plated. Front end washing machines require those huge chrome rings that are chrome plated. Then we have door handles, so that we have requirements from our car companies or the tier one companies that we have, we supply to. So you need plastic rings around instrument clusters. You need door handles, inside, outside door handles, which are chrome plated. Now Exotech did not have that customer connect, but as a combined entity, we have very, very strong relationships with these customers. So multiple doors are opening up, and we are very excited about the growth opportunity at Exotech.
That sounds great. The second question that I had was in relation to the inorganic growth that you talked about. You're generating a lot of cash for inorganic opportunity. Is there a particular focus? I mean, are you looking at players within India, or are you looking at players outside India as well? Because in auto components, we have seen in the past global acquisitions have mixed hit rate. So just wanted to get your sense on which geography are you looking at for acquisition.
So I answered this question earlier. Just to repeat, we are open for global M&A. So we are looking at geographies like North America, very interesting for us. Southeast Asia, again, is a very interesting opportunity, and so is Europe. So you see, the big advantage we have in India is that all these aesthetic products that you have are labor intensive, and they require a very high quality of large number of people for doing inspection. So this is something that gives an inherent advantage for a manufacturing location in India. And thanks to the fact that at SGS, we are right at the top in terms of managing this complexity that we do. So we supply 115 million parts, and we have very well-established processes within our company. And we find that a lot of our global competitors are facing the heat. So there could be opportunities to acquire these companies at some point in time. We are evaluating a few of these. The idea is simple. We need to make sure that we add value to our shareholders in the long term. So we will pick and choose what company that we want, what is the technology we have access to, and what new markets does that open up. So that is the lens through which we look at acquisitions. But to answer your questions, so we are geography agnostic. So there are some territories that look very attractive to us, especially North America, Southeast Asia, and Europe. So these are interesting. In India, we already exist, so we don't foresee, or at the moment, I don't rule out the possibility, but we don't look at, we are not really focusing on India. We are looking more at the global markets, because that is the $2.7 billion opportunity that exists. We, for example, do nothing for the North American automotive market, and our products are light, easy to ship. So it stands to reason that that's a huge pool of addressable market that we need to tap into, and we are strengthening our sales teams to be very active in that area.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your responses.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Arora from Safe Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good results in a challenging environment. So my question is regarding, it seems, if I look at our standalone performance and if I look at our console performance, it seems, we've kind of got a very good growth coming from Exotech. Both on the top line as well as on the margin side, it seems that, looking at pro forma margins for last year and, 9-month margins for console business, it seems that on Exotech we've also turned around on the margins. So if you could kind of clarify if my understanding is right, and also if you could give the data point for 9-month FY21 sales for Exotech, that will be helpful.
So thank you for that question. So I'll give a high level answer, then Amit, I will request you to provide the data point. So we see good synergies with the Exotech, and really the synergy is that in terms of our sales force, we have a much larger team at SGS than what Exotech had. In terms of purchasing, we are far more connected to the external world. There are a lot of common materials like adhesives, double-sided tapes, all the chemicals and raw materials that are bought. So SGS has a much larger clout with its customers, and Exotech has benefited. But I will let Amit answer that. So Amit, over to you, please.
Thank you, Sanjay. So if you look at Exotech, the 9-month revenue was 71 crores versus 68 crores that we achieved in the last financial year 21 itself. So in 9 months, we achieved the full year revenue, which I mentioned in my talking points about the Exotech. On a margin enhancement, yes, the Exotech business was operating at 11% for us. Now what we are looking is at a range of 14%. So there has been a margin enhancement in Exotech driven by revenue plus operational efficiencies that we have brought in the material management and, you know, the synergies with our procurements with SGS capabilities and some of the process discipline that has been introduced in Exotech. So we are seeing a quite a good turnaround in that business for us. And also, if you really look, you know, the run rate is well maintained. Even if I look at January and going forward, the run rate is pretty bullish. And so that gives us enough confidence on that business that, you know, the acquisition is really turned around for us.
Right. Sir, just a continuation of this question. So Exotech part is clear. On the standalone, you know, if I look at just the Q3 numbers, on year-on-year basis, our sales have declined 21%. So that is in line with the industry performance on the standalone piece. Any particular reason here, while on the consolidated business, we are kind of growing much faster than the industry on 9-month basis? But on Q3, if I look at year on year for the standalone, it seems to be in line with the industry. So any particular reason?
Sanjay, you want to answer? The reason really is that, yes, as you rightly said, that the industry, our key customers, Bajaj Auto, Honda Motorcycle Scooter Company, TVS, Royal Enfield, everybody had a decline because last year we were coming out of COVID. And sales ramped up during Q2 and Q3. This year, this has been historically a very bad year for the industry per se. The festive sales were at an all-time low. But despite that, we performed rather well. That is primarily, two reasons for this growth. So the four-wheeler industry has shown a growth over last year, especially the SUV segment, and that is something that we have now in our radar thanks to Exotech. So XUV 700, for example, just to give an example, at Mahindra. So from Exotech, we supply close to about 70 parts to those. So there was a good growth in that segment. And SES standalone, fundamentally, it's better to compare the 9-month data than talk of Q3, since last year Q1 was washed out. So because of COVID, this year as well, we were impacted. But I would say that especially in these pandemic years, a better view of the business is what we presented. 9 months of this year versus 9 months of last year is what an accurate comparison would be.
Thank you. Mr. Arora, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Gangahar from Avendus Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Good morning. I have three questions. First one is, could you update us on any new logos that you've added since your IPO, and particularly where are we in terms of our discussions with the EV suppliers in the country and abroad? That would be helpful. Second is, you mentioned something about a robust order book in FY23. So just on that, am I right in understanding that your 4Q numbers as generally shaping up well, and you're looking probably to have a better 4Q versus a third quarter? Is there any seasonality out here that we should be mindful of, since it's the first time you're looking at quarterly numbers? And the third one is just on the M&A strategy. If there is any hurdle rate or certain target returns that you would be looking at as a base limit, that will be helpful.
Sorry, I didn't, the last part I didn't get quite well. Are there any target returns?
any hurdle rates that you would, any parameters that you would keep in mind while pursuing any acquisition, any base level of return expectations, EPS accretion, or you know, ticket size, anything that you can help us with so that we better understand what kind of opportunities would you be looking at in terms of financials.
Got it, got it. Okay, so answer your first question first. So the new logos or badges or new customers, so to speak, that we've added, so we have won businesses with Continental. Continental, as you know, is one of the global leaders in the driver information systems. So we have done well and acquired business there, both in India and overseas. We've added Ola coming to EVs. So we are working with many companies. We have won Ola business, Ola Electric, and that is under production. We supply to TVS iQube. We supply to Revolt. And there are many other customers that are we are in discussions with to offer them. As I said, we have styling capability. So most of these volumes are low at the moment. But they are all looking at opportunities, what can we propose to them to differentiate their vehicle from others. So that's something that theme will play out. So we are very, very strongly focused on the EV business, not only for the decorative parts, but also for displays on EVs. So we have a business called Optical Plastics, where we do what is called a lens mask assembly. So that's something that we are looking at offering to the industry when we have business, when these OEMs have the economies of scale to localize those displays in India. And also on the front, on tractors, so we've added Swaraj Mazda as a customer. We've offered them a unique solution of an illuminated logo. So business continues to do well. Then you had a question, so I'll on the acquisition strategy and the return profile, or what are the key factors that we keep in mind. So as I said, largely it is that what doors does it open to us? Does it allow us a footprint in a location that is of interest to us? I mentioned North America, I mentioned Europe, especially Turkey. Because that is a large manufacturing base for appliances in Europe because of their relative low cost of production there vis-a-vis other countries in Europe. And Southeast Asia, of course, is a good market for both automotive as well as for appliances. So that's also a segment that we look at. Our focus really is to maintain our ROCE. I'll let Amit talk to you about what lens will we look at acquisitions through. Amit, maybe you can add value there.
So basically what our focus is that all our acquisitions should be margin accretive and business accretive to us. So anything that we look at has to, you know, match to the margin requirement, or we can see a potential to enhance the margin of the business based on the synergies and the capability SGS already has. If you look at Exotech itself, you know, we have been able to bring process efficiencies and the procurement discipline itself to get a very quick turnaround on the margin story. And similarly, we look at, if when you're looking global, we're looking at that how we can bring the cost synergies back to India from production line and everything to make it different. Exotech,
just
you know, when you bought...
One more dimension to what Amit said. Amit, sorry to interrupt. Just one more dimension. You know, we see a huge opportunity because you have a local team facing the customer in those geographies. So when we do an M&A, so that gives us a local manufacturing capability. So we are, let's say, a North American company operating in North America. Should we acquire a company in North America? So we have pricing that is already there in the market in North America. We, of course, are more competitive in India. We have a huge NPD capability, and our products are very easy to develop. So much like you have knowledge outsourcing centers in India addressing the markets of the globe, our vision truly is to have our facility in Bangalore, where we've set up truly state-of-the-art equipment and machines totally dedicated for new product development. So the development we would do in India at a fraction of the cost of what it takes for them to develop in North America, keep the same front-facing team that we have in North America, and ship parts from here to sell to customers in North America. So that is a theme, I think, which is very strong. We've tested that in terms of the price efficiencies. And that could be a very, very interesting play for SAS. So one factor for looking at an acquisition is really this opportunity to be able to manufacture in India and serve to customers through that company that we acquire in whatever geography we do. So that is a very interesting business which could be a big lever for growth for SAS.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Gangar. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthik Sharma from NVS Brokerage. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Nalin Shah from NVS Brokerage. I'm the director of the company. At the outset, let me congratulate the management for an excellent presentation. Today's presentation was really excellent. I have a few questions. My first question was regarding the growth in the top line, which was missing in last about maybe 3 years, but this current year, our run rate is almost, I think, 90 crore plus. So just wanted to understand that what is the kind of growth projections we have top line growth in the current Q4 and FY23, if you can some indications. My second question was that on the export, you had said that you are planning to do exports, take it up to 25% from the present about some 15-16%. And the exports and domestic market will be, you will expand. So can you have some idea about the margin differentiation, if any, between the domestic market and exports market?
Sorry to interrupt. So second question, you said, what is the difference between export and domestic market? Could you read that, please?
No, margin. I'm saying margins. Do they offer better margins, export markets?
Got it. Yeah. Yeah, and the third question?
My third question is that you indicated somewhere that the addressable market for you in maybe by 2025 or something, you had said that about 5,000 crores is the market size you expect. Am I correct in understanding?
5,000 is the size only for the Indian market. The export market is...
Indian market, I'm saying. So when that size of 5,000 crores, let's say it happens in, say, 2035 or 26, whenever it happens, where do you see SGS to be there at that point of time in terms of its top line?
Okay, so let's take your question one by one. So yeah. The growth trajectory that we had, as we indicated, we are growing very strongly. So at the end of Q4, we will give you a better outlook for next year because the OEMs are still firming their plans.
Okay.
But suffice it to say that our growth would be anywhere between 20-25%. So that is what are we looking at. So that is what we are aiming for. And that's what the order book looks like.
Okay.
In terms of margin for exports, so typically the products that we export, we are very, very competitive. And that's the reason why we export to so many countries. And those margins are higher. Depends, of course, on which is the product. But export margins are better than the domestic margins, let me tell you, because there are different products. So that is the reason why individual product margin could be different. But
correct.
On the whole, superior than domestic margins. And
okay.
The last question on 5,000 crores, where do we see ourselves? So as I said, we are today participating in the Indian markets. And it depends on how this thing plays out. But we will be a leader in this market because there are many products that we have where we don't have competitors ready with their products offerings at the moment. And we are looking at adding new technologies which are futuristic, which I cannot share at this call today. But we are well focused on what are the future needs of the customer in India. And we will leverage our capability across these different technologies that we built to address that market. So we will be in a very strong position in the Indian market by the year 2025, further build on what we have currently.
Just to get an idea, assuming that my market is then 5,000 crores, let's say we will be at somewhere around, say, 30% of that, 40% of that, something like that?
Internally, we are looking at doubling our sales in the next 3 years. So that is the target that we have set for ourselves.
Okay, excellent. And can you just last question? Can I have some idea about who are the top 5 customers by value, and what is the total contribution of theirs in the overall top line in the country company?
The top 5 customers. So we have. I don't know. We can share that data, right, Amit?
I'm sorry, but these information are not in the public domain. It's a little sensitive for the business, so we would not be able to disclose these details.
Yes.
Sure. Once again, I think congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Devanshi Dhruva for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us over this call. In case if anybody's questions have remained unanswered, you can please reach out to me, and we will get back to you on that. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.